5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. It is, it seems like it was only yesterday I was saying it is Thursday night, 9:30 Central Time, and the new Panic Room, episode 93. You're getting dangerously close to the 100th show. I think Xtina's planning he's planning to drink or something special for that one. But not too far off. But I usually ramble on, but I have missed this week, so I'm going to bring her straight on. Xtina, Medea, how are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
Good.
But
well,
you're
enough
right.
About,
enough
what?
About me. Is that
just... Enough about me. Enough about you. Let's talk about me, shall we? No, so what? Yeah, it has been. Time is just flying by. And the scary thing is, obviously, as time marches on, we're getting horribly close to the summer vacation. I mean, 1st of June is the kids' last day at school, which is horrifying.
Yeah, you know what? I sometimes think I'm a bad mom because I hear, like, I'll even see posts from moms, and they're like, oh, I can't wait to summer vacation. We're going to have so much fun. And I'm like, oh, my God, seriously?
Yeah, the little fucker's home. Yeah, I'll drop him off.
You can have fun with him, too. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to
it. As much fun as you can have with a surly 14-year-old, obviously. I said, summer's coming. What do you want to do? Nothing. And yet, if we do nothing, it's just boring, this. Well, you said you wanted to do nothing, so be happy. You know, they never are. But to be fair, I mean, they are. They're happy sort of hanging around. And, you know, they're at that age where you don't have to entertain them 24/7. They sort of do their thing.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
They're happy. And, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, you know, we've got a pool, and the little ones got a big backyard, got a play skate, everything here. You know, they don't really. We didn't go far at all. We went to the beach. A few beaches like an hour away, which is nice. So, you know, we don't have to do lots of massively expensive, because everything's so expensive. Obviously, they hike the price up for summer. And then, you know, you get to sit in the car for 9 hours going somewhere, or, you know. It's like when we like going to the zoo, but they've got this. I mean, Houston Zoo. It's in this downtown, and they've got like 3 parking spaces. So you know, you've got all these thousands of people going to the zoo, and there's literally 3 parking spaces. And you've got we spend more time driving around waiting for some fucker to leave than we actually do seeing the animals.
Yeah.
So I
all I have to do is go outside. You know, we have the donkey. I have to check in the donkey. I haven't seen him in a while. And I remember telling
you... Well, it's barbecue season, isn't it? They probably barbecued him.
Oh, God, no. And then I saw these weird birds that I swear they look like dodo birds, but you've told me that they're extinct, so now I'm, you know, changing my mind.
To be fair, are you sure they weren't moths or something? They were really little tiny birds, and they were flying around the lamp at night. They're moths.
They were moths. I don't know what they were, but they were really weird, and I don't normally see them. So, you know, there's those, and then there's a rooster. He's really pretty, and I took a picture of him once. And there's all sorts of animals out here, so I don't have to go to the zoo.
Yeah.
I can just go outside.
Well, then again, it's like you said. We're thinking about, you know, throwing our doors open to the local kids and charging them $1 to come look at our zoo. It's like a trip around the zoo. We've lost count. To be honest, I've literally lost count of what we've got now, because the boy. His girlfriend bought him a guinea pig, and of course he had to get one to keep it, so he's got 2 guinea pigs up there now with his Liz. He's got this iguana that is fucking huge now. The iguana is longer than my 9-year-old now. I mean, this thing started off this cute little green thing. I mean, I think we've had it about 4 years now, 5, maybe it's longer, maybe it's 5 years now. And so one of the jobs we're going to do over summer is get a bigger cage for it, because it's literally grown out of its cage. It's just like, its nose is at the top and its tail's dangling on the bottom, so I think, oh, it needs
to
be more. But he's a magnificent beast, and the boy gets him out and hangs with him, but he's big. I mean, he's not even finished growing yet. I mean, these things get to 6-7 feet long, I mean, most
wow,
of that's
I did
tail.
Not know that.
Most of that is, I mean, probably, I would say tail is almost like 1.5 times the length of the lizard itself, but,
wow.
You know, they get big.
Himself.
He's
yeah.
huge. He's,
yeah,
it's funny, when we
yeah.
first got him, he used to have to, you know, carefully chop all his greens up and chop them up into bite-sized. Now he just took a whole lettuce in or a whole cabbage in, and he just munches through it. He just stalks
how
and
are
everything.
How are the spiders doing? I need more pictures of the spiders so I can get the willies.
Well, I didn't want to send you to upset you, but no, they're doing really well. They're fine.
Oh, it'll freak me out, yeah, but I'm still interested.
They don't. I mean, the thing is, they're night hunters, so during the day you go up and see them, and they're in their little webs in the corner.
Uh-huh.
And you sort of poke them, and they move a bit, and that's about it. So they don't do
you
much.
You poke them? Do you really? You well, poke yeah, them?
No, just make sure they're alive. It's still alive. You give them just a little poke, and they twitch a bit, and they're he's all right, you know.
Oh,
well, there's
my God.
One. My daughter, she was poking. I think he's dead. And of course, he shed his skin in his web. So he's this shed skins in there. And I thought he died, but...
Yeah, yeah. We're not even going to go with the shedding of skin. I swear, I did not know spiders did that. I know snakes do. I had no clue that spiders do.
All arthropods. All arthropods have to shed their skin because it's like their skeleton is on the outside and it's the only way they can grow. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
So, we haven't done this for a while.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, I'll tell you what's new because you have no idea.
Because I'm so
glad
you.
We really should talk more, Xtina, to be honest with you. a week tomorrow, a monumental event. We have a brand new novella from David Owen Hughes and Peter Oliver Wonder, which is it's not really a follow up. It's kind of in the same sort of universe as Puckered, which has been a phenomenal seller. And this one is very Frankenstein. It's pretty dark and gruesome. It's what you'd expect from Dave. So our readers are going to enjoy that. And perhaps more importantly, is my book. The book with it's got more history. more history than medieval England, really. It's been through. We'll be the third publisher that's had it. But this time, it's going to be done properly, people. So
it's
Flanagan is
out.
Going to be available yeah. again on the 18th. Those two are going to be launched on the 18th. So I'm excited because,
yes.
you know, it's taken four and a half, nearly 5 years to actually to
wow.
get to this point and to be done properly. So it's going to
yeah.
be done right. I've formatted it and it's got brand new cover art, which is phenomenal. You know, it's got the old... pulpy feel to it, and it's just exactly as I wanted it all those years ago. So.
Awesome! I'm going to want a signed copy of that. By the way,
you and Becky, Becky's already put a name on a sign. Yes, you get a sign. I promise you'll get a sign because you haven't bothered to read it yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Couldn't be bothered.
No, I can't wait. I was waiting until it came home, and then I was going to read it. That's what I was doing. That's my story.
Is that
I'm
right?
Sticking to it. Yes. No, I can't wait to read that one and David's because, you know, I had never read anything by him until I edited the second fuckers one. What was that called? Man-Eating Fuckers. And I was
yes,
like, wow, this
yes.
is actually really good. So,
it
and
is
I have
awesome.
To read the
and you
one.
Will be, you've got to read the first one. There is third one. He's actually on with that now. So it's going to be a neat little trilogy.
I don't know.
So that's going to be, I think, probably early next year, that one. He's got another couple. I mean, he rattles these novellas off, him and Peter, and they're great. I mean, Puckered was just so much fun. I mean, it was toilets. It was very toilet-based, very, you know,
I saw the
excremental.
Cover. Yeah.
You know, this one isn't quite as toilety, but it's, you know, it's what you'd expect from Dave, which is great. You know, I'm a big, big fan of Dave, actually, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm still working on getting him on the show. So maybe he's just too...
He needs to get time to get his backside on the show. Yeah.
I know.
Because he's in Wales, so he's over in England. But, yeah, we can pre-record it.
Definitely.
We can pre-record him, but yeah, we need to get him. So, hey, have we got a show? What is going on tonight? I've got, he says here, James and Extina. I think that's us. Somebody authors of Wicked Nights of Summer Anthology. Oh, it's an anthology, apparently. Well, bugger me.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting Stand Up For Kids charity organisation. So, it's a charity, yeah. So, do you know, it means nothing to me. What's going on?
You just read what was going on. We have three authors from the anthology, Wicked Nights of Summer. We have P. Madden on. We love her. You know, we do.
We love
big P.
P. is probably my most favorite person on the planet, to be honest, between you and I. Sorry, but I know.
Thanks.
She is.
Thanks.
I love
Can I at least be second or something? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we have Kim Deister on as well and Amanda Kimberly. They are three of the authors from Wicked Nights of Summer. And I do want to give a shout-out to Savannah Morgan. She was supposed to be here as well, but she's had some medical issues. And
Hi, Savannah. I'm sure she's listening in.
I hope so.
Sure,
yeah, and you're in my prayer, Savannah. Get better, and then we have to have you back on. So.
Okay. So we've had Savannah on the show before, I believe, and she was fun.
Yeah.
She was fun, so probably more fun than the others, to be honest. Yeah. Isn't that,
okay,
that's
you have
what you said?
Push now.
Before we came on, were you just saying that the others are all a bit dull?
I don't know what you're talking about. I need to drink more now. What's going on?
So you do need to drink now. So I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. And we don't often do this. We don't often let more than one person. Do I have to do my little announcement? I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do my announcement now. So hold on. Here we go. Okay. So drum roll. I should have got it. Do a drum roll. There you go. tonight. The Wicked Nights of Summer Anthology Babes. Well, that's open to debate, isn't it? We'll be giving away three $5 Amazon gift cards. Yay! A Beanie Baby. Do they still do those?
Yeah, I think they do. I love those.
That's fantastic. Some of those go for like thousands and thousands of dollars for some reason.
Other CD
Gory swag and a signed postcard. So if you want to win a prize, people, listener, you've got to ring in. You've got to call in. And
can I ring in? I want some stuff.
Can I ring in? And the number to ring in is 516-387-1942. So I'm gonna ring in, to be honest. I'm gonna ring in on my other phone and see if I can win.
Right.
I never win anything. Never win anything on these things. All these great giveaways, and have I won anything yet? No, I haven't. You know, it's soul destroyed someday.
Your time.
So
this will be your time.
What
yeah.
What we're gonna do is I'm just to hell with it. Caution to the wind, and God help us all. I'm gonna bring them all on and just have a free for all. Okay. Ladies,
woo!
How are we?
Hello.
Yeah. Glad to be here.
Oh, P, I love you.
I love you too. I love both of you.
How are you? Yeah, but you love me more though, don't you?
She does.
She loves me more.
I'm thrilled to be here, and I have a joke that I adapted for Extina Marie.
Woo! Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. You want to hear it? Of course you do.
Of course.
Why did the clown release Extina from the sewer.
Why did he?
Because you kept asking him if he had any wine. Padafa.
Oh, I like that.
and thus the tone is set for the evening. So we should have. What was it? We have P. We have Kim.
Yep, right here.
Yep. Oh.
Yay.
And we have Amanda.
Yep, I'm here too.
So we have everyone. So I'm just gonna switch my microphone off and just let you lot just have at it, I think. Just,
yeah, he says that, but he's just playing. He says that though.
I have to the Wicked Knights of Summer anthology. I mean, is it all ladies?
Yeah, this one actually is all ladies that are doing the writing. But, you know, it's paranormal romance, basically. So we've got a lot of vampires and shifters and mermaids and hunters and all that kind of fun stuff.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've never read about mermaids. I have read vampires and I think angels, too, but I don't even think it's on shifters. My mom was such a fan. She was into, like, the bearwares and the, you know, there's just so many different.
Yeah,
and I used to. Yeah.
Yeah, CD Gorey, and she is actually heading the anthology with myself, and
mm-hmm.
she's doing a bear shifter for her story, and from what I hear, it's, like, fabulous.
My mom would have loved that. Yeah.
Funnily enough, we're just putting together our schlock horror anthology with Brett McCormick, and we have a story in there about a were tiger. I mean, it's a phenomenal story. It's just like, wow, you know. So
yeah.
I mean,
cool.
they don't have sort of, they should have like a were platypus, I think. Someone who shifts into
a
duck-billed platypus. Yeah,
they're
awesome.
I have a 17-year-old daughter, and we started joking because she started Googling all the different were shifters, and we
uh-huh.
found a were hair bunny. So we
wow.
started laughing because I quoted, you know, basically the run away.
Oh, the fight! Yeah, run away.
Monty Python.
That's funny.
You know, I actually have one of those rabbit puppets. We went to see Spamalot down in the West End many years ago. I actually bought, and it cost like £25, but we actually got the little bunny, and he's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's great. It's actually a little glove puppet bunny. He's brilliant.
That's cool.
There you go.
Oh, gosh.
So, who was the brains behind the Wicked Knights of Summer? Or was there any brains behind it?
Amanda Gorey. Amanda
uh-huh.
Gorey.
So, what was
and
the? Emmy. I mean, what was the inspiration? What was it to? Was it for the charity, or did you just think this is a great idea and hey, let's donate to charity?
Well, CDs. Patricia and I and P.T. Massius, we've been doing a lot of anthologies together with each other, and when C.D. and I were talking to each other, we're like, oh, well, let's do this charity. It's really cool. And I was really happy to do this charity. I'm excited about it because it's basically helping homeless teenagers. And since C.D. and I have teenagers, you know, we kind of understand them.
You just understand them the best you can. I mean, teenagers are they're a strange species. They really are.
Yes,
I have
kind
four
of easy.
Them. They're
you basically,
oh,
but
God.
you just feed and water them, and that's about it. During the summer, mm-hmm. it's
sure
very
they
easy
shower.
Because they sleep. They sleep most of the day.
Yeah,
great. They're kind of like vampires.
You need to put together like a manual or something. That would be awesome.
Right?
I would buy that. I would.
I need that.
Yeah.
I have a 10-year-old that acts like a 30-year-old. I swear to God, she totally acts like a 30-year-old. She's only 10,
it's
but
not
I mean,
any better
she's like.
When they're boys. I have four of them.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Wow. You and I were talking about that. Oh my God.
Yeah, fortunately one of them's old enough. I kicked him to the curb, but I still have three more plus a husband.
Oh God, yeah. I have a 14-year-old boy right now, and you know he isn't. I hear you and even James was talking about. You know his kid is 15, and he doesn't see him, and you know he just. I can't get rid of mine. Like every time I turn around, he's like right there. I guess you could say he's a mama's boy, but there are times and I'm just like, go away, go get a life, go outside, do something. You know, and I'm sure that when he actually does get a life, I'm going to be sad, and I'm going to be like, where are you? Why would you spend any time with me? You know, so.
Yes,
I'm trying. Yes, see? I'm sure it's coming any time now. Yeah.
My oldest is 17. She's a girl. My youngest is 10. She's also a girl. Feel bad for my husband because he's the only boy.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have four-legged creatures, you know, that are male, but I don't think the cat and the dog count.
No.
That's
no,
all
I
I've got in this
no.
house. I have all testosterone, so I need the cat.
Oh, no.
So I was wondering,
well,
we have... go ahead.
I'm as old as a crypt keeper's wife, and I have a teenage granddaughter, okay? That's how long I've been around, and I am happy to say my kids are grown, and they actually co-write with me. So that's pretty
well, that's cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that the I guess I don't know if this was actually the tagline or if it's just something that I grabbed from, you know, all the information, but it said, you know, vampires and shifters and angels. What's your favorite paranormal thing, entity or whatever to write about? Any of you?
I was going to ask you, Xtina, I was going to ask you and James that, and James does not get to say demons because he wrote Tenebrium, which is like the ultimate horror book based on demonic stuff. So, James, besides demons, okay, what's your favorite paranormal and what's Xtina's?
I would have to say werewolves, I think, is going to be my next. I've always been more of a werewolf than a vampire sort of person. So, and it's actually in my anthology. I actually wrote it for a collection, an anthology that was out a couple of years ago, my own werewolf story. And I'd always wanted to write a werewolf story, but to try and put a different spin on it, you know, that hadn't been done to death. And it took me years and years, and I finally had the idea, and it's a cracking little story, actually. So that's probably the one I'm proudest of, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Let's see. I have always been a vampire person. I was a huge fan of, you know, movies like The Lost Boys and Fright Night. I was in love with David from The Lost Boys. I seriously was. And then, of course, when Buffy the Vampire Slayer came along, I was in love with Angel. I was in love with Spike. So I've always had a thing for vampires. So I'm going to go with vampires. Woo!
Yeah.
There you go.
What about everybody else?
Yeah.
I'm definitely into vampires. I was definitely a Lost Boy fan. Lost Boy fan.
It's still a great movie.
But I was more into Kiefer at the time.
Oh, my God.
Know,
yes. That was David. That was David. Wasn't that David? Yeah, that was David.
Yeah.
I thought David was... Oh,
no, that was Michael. Michael was the...
Yes, but I'm thinking of his real name, the dark-haired dude. His real name was Michael. That was his first name. So, I was into that. Yeah,
he was cute, but Kiefer did it for me. I don't know, he's that bad boy vampire. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've seen him as he's gotten older, and he looks just like his dad now. So I'm like,
I know.
Not quite
Did you see the Flatliners remake?
No,
I have not. I've not yet.
They have Kiefer in that. He plays a whatever, because they're all medical students. He plays one of the doctors, and it's just kind of bizarre to see him. I mean, it's not a bad remake. I mean, it's like, meh, you know what I mean? But you know, it's not as good as the original.
They remade 21 Jump Street, and they had both Johnny Depp and Peter DeLuise in it, but it wasn't the same.
They tend to do, when they do a remake like that, they it's like a tradition. They will have some of the original, when they did Starsky and Hutch, at the very end they had the original Starsky. And it's just like a tradition that they do. you know, but he actually had a, Kiefer had a part. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's, I like it as an actual, like it. It was one of those, you know, why bother making a remake? You know, they didn't add anything to the story.
Yeah.
The original, I think the original movie was far better. It's much more creepy and, you know, these days they tend to sanitize things to death and they just took all the fun out of it, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, with all the incredible new horror coming from indie authors and small publishers, I can't understand why they're rehashing the hash, you know, and not doing as well a job of it, in my opinion. I know they're playing it close to the vest because of economic concerns, but it's just a pity because the best horror, the best paranormal, it's all out there. You know,
it is. I mean, you find
them. It's out there.
As far as horror goes, some of the best horror films are coming out of the independent studios because they're not tied to, you know, big budgets. They can make, you can knock out a good horror film for anywhere between 100,000 and a million, which is, you know, small potatoes in the movie business. You know, but they're not afraid to take a chance, you know, on something new, something fresh. And, I mean, there's a lot of shite, to be fair, coming out of, from independent. But then again, there's a lot of shite coming out of Hollywood as well. I mean, you know, Transformers movies, for example. I would say, you know, watch independent horror because that's where the future of horror lies, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the foreign language, you know, the Danish are coming out with some pretty impressive horror. And that Spanish one, it starts with an S, I can't remember.
That girl's name, is that the one you're talking about?
Veronica.
There you go.
Veronica.
How was that?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
That was so creepy. It was so incredibly well done. And as well, I managed to get a copy of it with one with subtitles because I don't speak Spanish, and it was a damn good film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So much better than any of your Ed and Lorraine Warren based movies that they churn out here every 2 months. You know, so I'd recommend.
Yeah.
Like I say, you know, there's been some great ones from Scandinavia. Trollhunter was good. Rare Exports was very good. There's some really good stuff.
Let the Right One In was
Let the Right, yes.
I love that one.
Oh, my God. It was so much better than the American remake, too.
It was.
Have any of you watched the Ghost House movies? The Ghost House movies? Have any of you heard of the Ghost House movies? They're Scandinavian, too. They're terrible. But they're the best kind of terrible horror movies. They're awful. They're so good, though.
Yeah, I caught one of those. It was terrible, but it was riveting, if that makes sense.
Oh, my God, they're awful. There's one that's got the worst subtitles or the worst dubbing in English I've ever seen, and it's become a long-lasting family joke because
you can't
get past some of these bad lines. But they're great. I love them.
Awesome.
They're so bad.
Now I'm going to have to watch you.
Oh, they're terrible. And they're dubbed badly. They're like, they're not even a B movie. They're more like a double Z, but they're great.
Oh,
they're great.
Almost like a car crash
or
something.
It's like,
you can't look away.
It's like when I was, but it was like when I was growing up with the Godzilla movies, and then you'd sit there and you'd see the dub over, and then they'd be talking for like 10 minutes after the English version.
Every good
movie
ever.
Mothra.
So cool.
Anybody remember Mothra? I'm old.
Yes,
I remember Mothra.
Yes, I love that.
Yes.
With the singing, that was like wonderful. It was like horror opera or something.
So we have a bunch of geeks on. You know, I mean,
clearly.
That's absolutely true. guess who was the first? Okay, all of us are here, right? Guess which author among us was the first to publish at a very young age? Guess.
I would say you, P. That would be mine. No?
I published at a very old age. Actually, in high school, I was in some kind of anthology that was published, but that was like forever ago. so I'm eliminated. But who do you think, out of The Wicked Nights of Summer, who do you think published at the ripe old age of 9 years old?
Whoa. I don't know. You have to tell us now.
Well, she's on board. Speak up, lady.
You did your homework, dear. That would be
Amanda.
Wow, awesome. At nine? What did you publish at nine? That's amazing.
It was actually a couple poems. It was for a local rag.
Oh, wow.
You know, one of them, one of the reporters came over to, you know, the school, and they're like, all right, you know, what do you have? And my teacher
gave some
poems, so it was what it was. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, poetry. You're talking to us. I love poetry. I have a couple of poetry books out, and were you a rhyming poet or a free verse poet? Because I've just now decided to, you know, try my hand at this whole free verse thing, and I'm kind of liking it. I don't know if I'm any good at it. Who knows? I could, you know, suck pretty bad, because every time James sees one, he's like, that's all good and well, but it doesn't rhyme.
it doesn't. If you can't be bothered to make the effort, I mean, you know.
Let's take it for a test drive. Guess what I have? I just so happen to have a recent non-rhyming piece by the fabulous ex Tina Marie. Would you all like to hear it?
No, not really. No.
Oh, my God.
Somebody put a pillow over his face, okay?
I know.
I've obviously been outvoted.
You're voted off the island. Okay, I'm going to read this. Everybody, I really like it. And it's non-rhyming, which is kind of different for her. And she's very, her rhyming was slow. This one flows too, okay? And it's romantic, so it ties in with, you know, our whole theme for tonight, which is romance and sizzle. Okay, this was written 5/6/18. It's called Thinking Back by Tina Marie.
Yay.
Thinking back to what was hot and heavy, crazy lust. This need, this desire, most addicting, frenzied, blurry vision. My thoughts, you only, always. My body responding to your every word, every whisper in my ear. Now here we are a few years later, older, wiser, settled in, comfortable, habits established. I wear you like I wear my favorite t-shirt, the gray one that's faded some with time. But still, my thoughts, you only, always. By ex Tina Marie.
Yay! You did that good.
Yay!
So why ex Tina? Why does it not rhyme? You just couldn't be bothered, or what?
No, you know, actually, I've always rhymed. I really have. And even when, you know, the first couple of times I decided I'm going to try non-rhyming, it just rhymed anyway. So, but I read a book, and I, you know what, I'll go ahead and say it on the show. R.B. O'Brien had a poetry book that came out not too long ago, and it's called Ruin My Lipstick. And I read that, and I was so moved by this book. It was beautiful. That I was like, I have to try that. And, you know, if I could be half as good as the poems in that book, I would be happy. So, you know, that's the story of why I decided to try. But, you know, I mean, I will definitely always be going back to the rhyming, and that's, you know. But it's been fun. It's fun, and it's a little more freeing, I think, than the rhyming is. But again, I don't know. It's weird, because when I do a rhyming poem, I don't even think about, is this good or anything like that. But when I do a non-rhyming, I'm like, oh my God, does this suck? How can I tell? You know what I mean? So it's not easy.
Congratulations! I think it's lovely.
It reminds me of Emily Dickinson, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she had a basic metaphor throughout her entire poem, and that's why it reminds me of that. I actually started out in poetry when I first started writing. You know, I I'm kind of the jack of all trades, master of none when it comes to writing. I've done articles and nonfiction and fiction.
You're my hero. I love you. I brag about you all the time.
Thank you. But yeah, I did start out that way, and I've always loved poetry. It just speaks to you.
You know, I cannot say that I was always a poetry lover. I really can't. I think I was in my probably mid-teens when I wrote my first poem, and for me, it was just a way to, you know, get out these, you know, yucky feelings that I was having. It was my first heartbreak that I wrote my first poem, and I never really shared them with anybody. I mean, I was, you know, from the time I was like 10, I wanted to be the next Stephen King. You know, I didn't want to be the next poet. I wanted to be Stephen King, you know. So poems were just something I never really shared with anybody until I got, you know, older. And now I'm known as the Dark Poet Princess, which is kind of, you know, kind of cool.
Yes, you are.
It's kind of cool, yeah. So.
Yes,
that
is cool.
Can we
start reading excerpts from The Wicked Nights of Summer?
Our
fan page at https://, I'm so bad at this, /www.facebook.com/WickedNightsOfSummer. Okay? You know, the rest, I'm not I'm a technophobe and I suck at this, but if you remember all the usual stuff and add Wicked Nights of Summer, you'll find us.
I like
but
that.
I think
exactly.
I think we need to read some of Kim and Amanda, you know, all of us have excerpts, and why don't one of y'all go just plunge in and read one, because these are sizzling.
Yeah, Kim, why don't you start?
Okay. I'll start with mine. I've got others, but I'll start with mine. Mine's called Sandy Toes, and here's my little excerpt. Ireland was everything I never knew that I wanted or needed. I didn't have to hide the truth of what I was from her. I never knew how much I needed that until I met her. It was like a bone-crushing weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And the joy she had for life was contagious. When shit went bad for me, things got dark. I became a cynical bastard. I got pissed at the world for a long time, blaming anyone and everything for my misery, but not Ireland. She was full of life and joy. Because of her, for the first time in my life, I loved the fact that I didn't know what was coming next. It was terrifying not to have a plan, but it was pretty fucking awesome to know the sky was the limit. The only thing I did know is that I wanted to be by her side. That's mine.
Oh,
I love that.
That's awesome.
I got chills in the back of my legs. I love that name, Ireland, too.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then the boy is Sully, right?
Yep. She's a witch and he's a dragon shifter.
Ooh, did you say dragon shifter? That is so cool.
I did.
Yes.
Yep, dragon shifter. I like the weird shifters.
Awesome.
I wrote another book about a kitsune, so I'm all about the weird shifters.
Yes.
That's cool.
That's awesome,
I'm glad. I'm glad because I like the normal, you know, like the ones that are like animals you see around, you know, usually. But I think it's really cool to have an unusual shifter.
Let's do one more one of the excerpts, and then we're gonna cut to a short break, and then we'll come back with more excerpts. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Amanda, what you got?
Do you want me to do mine or CDs?
Yes.
CDs is another shifter. CD is another shifter. So let me do that one because that's a bear. CD Gory. This is called Barely Breathing. And doubt filled her blue eyes. Marcus frowned. He wanted to rake his claws against the idiots who'd made her feel insecure, the ones who passed up the chance to be with her. At the same time, he wanted to thank them for saving her just for him. Possessive much? Hell yeah. Still, he wanted her to see, as he did, a beautiful, sexy, and vibrant woman, someone who deserved to be loved for who she was. A vacation romance? Hardly. What about your big furry secret? That was a separate issue.
Layla had to accept that he truly wanted her as a woman first. Then he'd work out when to introduce his bear. And that's C.D. Gorey.
Yay!
So I want to hear more about the big furry secret.
I love it.
I knew you were going to say that, James. I did. I heard. Wow, you can sometimes know somebody too much, but my brain did say big furry secret. James is going to say something.
Big furry secret. Yeah, well, you know, you hooked me. Big furry secret. In many ways.
I know. In many ways, we all love this anthology. Is everybody's talented and everybody just absolutely brings it. These are exciting, sizzling, toe curling stories. So cool.
Awesome. We're going to go to a short break right now, and then we're going to come back. I think we're going to talk to Becky. She's got a review for us, and then more excerpts and more fun, and people have to call in because we have giveaways and stuff. So,
I'll be ringing in. I want to win something.
All right.
Okay. It's break time. We will be right back.
Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Welcome back to part two.
And we are back. I hope we're back. Are we back, Xtina?
We are.
Hello.
I've had a bit of a time delay
while you topped up your wine there. So, he's back. It is that time of the evening where we have to say.
Okay. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
It's Becky the Reviewer. How are you this evening, Becky? The Reviewer. Come on, Becky, join in.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I think we're all fine.
Good.
We're fine.
Y'all fine.
So, what y'all fine, y'all fixins. What are you fixing to review for us this evening?
The book is an anthology, and it's called 100 Word Horrors. And this is the
Kevin Kennedy one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm in that. I've got a story in that, and it's great.
So am I.
Wow,
mm.
I didn't know you were in there too, Becky.
There
that's
you
awesome.
Go. Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. We are anthology mates now.
Yes, we are. I'm impressed. Woo, go me. the 100-word stories are called Drabbles, and there's 110 stories in this anthology. And
wow.
man, they are amazing. Mark Lumby is in this. Amy Cross is in this. James is in this, David Owen Hughes, Kevin Kennedy, Richard Chismar. I mean, they're just amazing. And Lisa Morton is in this. And until I actually tried to write just 100 words, I mean, I had no clue how hard it was. I mean, it's not as easy as you think. I mean, you think
it,
you know,
isn't
like,
it? It is.
Oh, okay,
I have to say, I mean, it was probably the most difficult thing I've done. I mean, my short stories are not known for being short, to be honest.
No, James's short story is like 25 pages. So
yeah, to condense something into 100 and put the story across. I mean, like I say, there's some awesome ones in that book. It is an absolute. Fine art, you know, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done.
I had to rewrite mine, like, I know I had to redo it at least 20 times. And then I was like, and by that time, I was so unsure with, I was just like, oh my God, is this even halfway right? And so, I was having people read it, and they were like, oh yeah, this is good. And I was like, okay, yeah,
I suppose the exercise would be to find out just what words aren't needed, you know, and I can't imagine, to be honest. I have a tendency
well, it's
to
funny,
blather
when you
times.
When you really have to, and you've got to trim out all the fat, and you can tell the story with a fraction of the words. It just shows you just how much superfluous words that we throw in. You know, you can tell, you know, done right, you can tell as much with one word as you can with, you know, a page in some instances.
Right. That'll be something I have to pick up. How many Becky stars would we give that?
Oh, absolutely 10.
Ooh,
but
awesome.
But just for James, I'm going to say 9.
It's going to be 9. 9.99. And I like when Kevin approached me about it. You know, I'd never heard of Drabbles before, to be honest. I had no idea what they were. You know, and it was like, well, it was an interesting idea. You know, intrigued me. And I would recommend anybody who writes, anybody thinking about writing, is to give it a go. Take your best, the best idea that you have, and see if you can tell that story in 100 words, you know. And
yeah, see,
it's tough, it really is.
I do a thing on Fridays with the New Romantics called Micro Shorts, and I thought that was the
yeah.
same thing as like a travel, but it's really not. I mean, a travel is a whole story in 100 words, and
right.
a micro short is just like a tiny, like, you know, scene or something, or just a tiny glimpse of something going on. Like, you don't really, it's not a whole story.
Yeah.
So,
no, you have to tell the whole story, the entire story in 100 words.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great discipline. I mean, I'd recommend anybody to do that.
Awesome.
You know, especially those people who short stories are. Yeah, oh, I would, yeah. Yeah, so for those of us whose short stories are like 14,000 words long, then it's probably a very good exercise, I'd say.
Yes.
Maybe if he decides to put out a second volume, I'll have to give it a go. But I blather at the best of times, so I don't know how good I would do it. Right? You laugh, but James is going, yes, she does.
Yeah. Oh, God, she does go on. She does go on.
I'll cut out all the words you don't need.
Okay, that's a deal then.
James better proof it after we're done.
try to make sure it rhymes as well. That would be useful. That would be good. Make an effort, woman.
Really, Mike can do that.
make an effort.
100-word travel poem. There we go.
There's a niche there for somebody.
I could see you doing that, though. That would be cool.
Oh, gosh, don't challenge me. I'm too busy.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, because I know some of the ladies want to say hi to Becky, so you stick around, Becky, for a bit, and we'll bring the ladies back on. Hi, we have P and Kim and Amanda hopefully back with us. How are you? Did you have a good break?
Woo-hoo! Yes.
Good.
I
went for a wee.
So did I.
I had a nice, because I'm at that age now, again, it might be a bloke thing. I'm at that age now where, you know, I'll squeeze one out, you know, because you never know. You never know.
I topped off my wine, so I'm good.
Which is the exact opposite of having a wee.
it's my 20 something anniversary of being 21. I won't say exactly how many. My husband can keep track, which I hate. He's a better bastard.
I hit the 27th anniversary of that this year.
Wow.
Please shut up because you're not that much older than me.
We're not talking about age.
Well, you know, it's funny. We touched on this last week because it was in the I don't know if it made the papers over here, but it did in England. There's a guy, 104, and he actually lives in Australia. He's a Brit, lives in Australia. He was a botany professor chap who travelled to Switzerland. He raised like $10,000 to travel to Switzerland. To travel to Switzerland to be euthanized. Well, I mean, you know, we said last week, you're 104.
Yeah.
You know, you could, by all means, raise the money, but spend it on beer and hookers. Don't waste it.
Right?
Traveling all that way. What a waste. 104. I mean, how much longer are you going to live? Really? Genuinely, you know, and he looked sprightly enough. You know, he was like, I've had it. And yet, you know, most people, you cling to every second of life, and you're just like, I've had enough now, I'm fed up. You know, so, well, you selfish bastard.
I've had enough.
I really thought, again, it would make a great short story for somebody. It would have been great if the plane had crashed on the way over there or something.
Oh, God.
That would have been, what a great story.
That'd be
great,
good
great
travel. That'd be a great travel. We have so much Someone has to write that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived with my grandmother, and she passed away at 93 a couple of years ago. And I loved her because she just relished every second of every day of every hour. Whatever she could do, you know, she loved family. She loved, you know, just being around people. And that's what it's all about. It's not about just, I'm too old to do this, I'm too old to do that. You know?
Yeah.
I really
no, I agree. I mean, I
yeah.
I think if somebody's ill and in pain and all that, I can understand that. But he wasn't. He was just I'm fed up. Well,
just old.
We all get bored from time to time. But you know, I get bored. You know, when there's nothing on the TV. But I thought, oh, there's nothing on the telly. I'm going to go to Switzerland and you know, have assisted suicide. Because,
but she had post polio. She had chronic heart failure and all this other stuff going on with her. And she still managed to love life. And I remember when she first got her chairs that were supposed to, you know, get her down the stairs because she couldn't get down the stairs with the post polio. My dad comes over and him and I said to my grandmother, okay, you need to wait a minute because we're going to test them out first. And we had the chair races to see which one of us, because she had a tri-level
awesome.
House. We wanted to see which one of us would get down first.
Brilliant.
That is cool.
That's great.
It was really fun. I could see you and Christina doing that.
Yeah, I know. And James is shaking his head. I could, too. I proposed a road trip not too long ago. I think that would really, you know, drive him batty. I do. It'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, it would.
Yeah, because, you know, after we
I'm
left.
I'm going to have to drive, aren't I? Because y'all are going to be drunk. James will be on the monster, and I'll you'll be wined, and I'll have to drive.
Sounds good.
If I had a
monster or two, I could drive all night, literally. So there you go. Maybe the Cyndi Lauper song, you know, I drove all night. She'd been drinking Monster, and that was about drinking Monster. I like to think.
Sounds right. Can I read an excerpt?
Yes, please.
Yes, you can.
Yes,
you can, by George.
Which is for the stand-up for kids charity organization for homeless teenagers mostly, I guess. And so it's a worthy cause. Everybody shell out the 99 pennies, save your pennies, for this wonderful cause, and also for this excellently crafted anthology. This is from Ritual Island by J.P. Bouvelle. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Here it goes. Blair. The energy shifts in the atmosphere, a crushing blow to my chest. The chatter around us quickly dies, forcing Melanie and me to crane our necks to see what has everyone so speechless. Instantly, my eyes lock into a man rippling with muscles, his creamy skin the color of cinnamon, kissed with tribal tattoos and a radiant glow. Fuck me. He has the most beautiful shade of amber eyes. They call to me, compelling, breaking me down slowly. And no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to keep my limbs from shaking. Mr. Gorgeous walks into the room and fills the place with his presence, almost as if he owns everyone's soul.
Ooh, I like the tattoo. The tattoos, that was good.
Very, 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 very sexy.
It was. I like that.
We like sexy on this show.
Yes.
No kidding. Her log line is, I've broken the most important rule of being a shifter king. Never fall in love with a sacrifice. Doesn't that sound intriguing?
Oh.
Oh, it does.
Yes.
Oh,
I like everything.
Yeah,
everything.
Ritual Island by J.P. Ouvier. Okay.
Ouvier.
I think I got it.
Ouvier.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Ouvier.
I see. I don't know who's this excerpt is right before that one, but I see some moaning. Who's going to read the moaning one? I want to hear that one.
The moaning one.
I see somebody is moaning. Look, let me see. It's
I think Xena should read that one out then.
No, that's not funny. Oh, I think it says Moonburned by Patricia Madden. I think so.
Oh, you want me to read my own?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited. Okay.
We just want to hear you moaning.
Oh, don't say the word cross, dude. Can we all do that? Let's do a group orgasm right now. Oh my God. Oh, I didn't know you were so big. Okay. Group orgasm. We never fake it, though.
This is going into the best of show, by the way, the group orgasm.
It has to. It can go in straight.
Okay.
Somewhere. We can sandwich it between radiator porn and lesbian lactation porn.
Yes.
I don't think guys are wired the same way. You know, they usually get that half blind look. You know, and you know what I'm talking about. Girls like zombies.
Totally
their eyes kind of white to their eyes shut.
Oh my God!
Not that ever happened to me. A friend told me that. Okay.
Said about it.
Speaking for a friend. Anyway, this is from Moonburn by me, I guess. And my log line is, on a private island, a vampire is moonstruck by a stowaway.
Awesome.
Patty felt cold. It was a coldness born of fear that emanated from deep inside of her. Its source was the cellar of her soul, the place where all the loneliness of her childhood, the grief of her losses, and the dismal reality of her failures were stored. Now they rose up like vengeful ghosts, and a lone tear trickled from her eye. Nevertheless, she willed herself to hold it together. She had gone through too much to be bullied by a billionaire. What do you want from me, she asked, and what will I get in return? There must be something you're after, and I know that to be true because I'm still alive, she finished. She watched Valerian drain his drink. I think we can work out some equitable arrangement, Caddy. I find myself wanting to get to know you better, much better. You mean you want to suck my blood, she said. I believe you now. He took a seat beside her. Not just that. Vampires retain some of their humanity. We feel things just as strongly. We're just as motivated by our passions as humans. Sometimes I believe we feel things even more keenly because our senses are heightened. Caddy smiled, but it was a sarcastic smile. What else do you want, she asked, her eyes narrowing. Let me guess. Sex. What a surprise. Of course, he said smoothly. I'm a male of the species. You're a beautiful young woman. I'm attracted to you. Caddy lowered her eyes, feeling her cheeks burning. The truth was, as angry as she was, with him as stuck up and threatening as he'd been, she still felt drawn to him with a passion that mystified her. He reached for her and pulled her more tightly against him. This is where it gets good, y'all. Encircling her with his left arm and insinuating the flat of his hand down the deep V of her bathing suit as he kissed her. He soon found his prize as he pulled the crotch of her bathing suit aside, caressing and then squeezing her mons. Her curly and abundant pubic hair tickled his hand as he insinuated one finger between her soft lips. She involuntarily moaned. She could feel herself melting, dissolving into a carnal creature with oh so many holes. waiting to be filled. I like that one.
Wow. That was...
Oh, so many holes.
So how many holes exactly? Precisely how many holes did she want filling?
You know, just for memory, help me out, girls. One, two, three.
Well, only three.
I don't remember doing anything with ears, but you know.
You know, three. It's just not even. Not even making the effort, to be honest with you. So, anyway, we have a caller. We have a caller, so I'm going to bring the caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're
Hello.
On. Hello.
Oh, shit. I'm on.
Yes, you are. Say hi to the lady. I've no idea. I just press the buttons. I don't feel the holes. I just press the buttons. Okay. Leave it there. Leave it there.
Who's cracking up?
So,
you just won an Amazon $5 gift card. Who are you, hon?
What?
Yeah, you just won an Amazon $5 gift card. We're giving away presents.
Oh, what?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just drinking the wine and pushing the buttons. Who knows?
If you call to place an order, then you can, you know, we can take on sweet and sour pork. I mean, fried rice. I mean, pizza. Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
If y'all can hush it for a second, this is Teresa Scott Matthews from Florida.
Hi, Teresa. Teresa,
Teresa. Hello. Hello. Do you have a question for our ladies?
Well, I do.
Good.
Why y'all so sexy and weird?
Well, we'll let Xteen answer first.
Really? I get the weird. I don't know. I think I was just born with it. Isn't that? That's a good answer, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good answer.
Weird
yeah.
is my favorite.
Yeah, I think I'm just naturally sexy anyway, so I just can't help it.
I get
asked that a lot.
I was listening to the radio in the car today, and Sexy and I Know It came on, and I was definitely singing along with that, and I was thinking, yeah, this is, you know, I was going to post it on Facebook because I was sexy, and I knew it at that moment. I did. I'm just glad nobody was seeing me as I was driving, and I was singing this song really loud, so.
Can I claim that I have teenagers and I feel old?
What?
No. Tell me about it.
No, I can't.
No. I can fucking hear y'all because you're fucking so loud. Come on. One at a time.
I think weird people are more interesting, and I think, I mean, sex is definitely one of the top, three things people go after in life, people concentrate on it, you know, that it's emphasized. It's like a mystery that never gets solved. It's attention-getting. It's something that most of us have some experience with, good or bad. And so I think it's just essential. It's essential. So, and I think it's a fun thing to concentrate on. It really is. Life is, you know, life is problematic and a lot of times a struggle. But I think sex is something that always works. Always works.
Whether you read about it or you actually
have it. So that's my story, like Tina Marie says, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
I can just say yes, yes. And
very
it's better
cool.
than talking about politics.
That's
oh, yeah.
Okay.
You
I got that one, yeah.
I'm about to lose my shit here. Can we all slow down one at a time, please?
Sorry, Teresa.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It can be hectic.
I fucking got the nerve to call in, and it's like, you know, blabbering all over the fucking place.
Yes, that's what we do best on Blog Talk Radio. If you would like to make sure to leave a comment and leave your email so you can collect a prize, we'll be in touch with you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Teresa.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fucking
leave it. Bye. We got more callers. She'll get all the call. We'll get the next caller on. Hello, caller number two. How are you?
Hello.
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 Hi,
welcome.
Hello. Hi, Christina. Hey, I called in at the beginning and I held for like 7 minutes. I'm like, I think I called in at the wrong time.
Oh, well, guess what? It's the right time because you win.
Yay!
Yeah, well, you guys are having too
Yay.
Much fun. What's all that moaning?
That was me.
Yeah,
that was
like,
me.
Oh, my gosh. That was you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys are having a lot of fun. I'm like listening to it. So.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
We're
you.
So happy to have
thank
you on board, and you win too.
Yay!
Do we really have to wait a month? Over a month.
for the story?
Yeah.
This
all
is,
right,
this
I'll
is a
win.
Fabulous anthology. I know you already pre-ordered, right?
Oh, yes, I did. I think I ordered it last month.
Quite a while ago. So she knows where the good stuff is. I'm so tickled pink that you called, and I know you love all the ladies here. And
I'm glad I got through.
I'm glad too, hon.
Yeah. Well, everybody have a good night.
Do you have a question for us?
A question? How many authors are in the book?
There are
Seven.
I think so. Amanda Kimberly, P.T. Macias, C.D. Gorey, J.P. UVA.
Seven.
Nicole Banks, and P. Mattern, and did I miss anybody?
I don't think you missed anybody.
There's seven of us. Why do I think eight?
Yep.
Maybe I'm thinking of myself.
I looked up the cover and read.
I think I'm adding myself twice. Okay, I suck at math. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's really okay. Bad. A lot of us are. No, it's at least seven. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
It's at least seven. It might be eight. But the stories are unbelievable. And
I love
Sisters.
You, I can't wait.
I've been reading them because I'm the one formatting them. Oh, my God. They are really good.
Well, thank you so much. You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us. We have another call. So we're going to move on to... It's a call tonight. I'm just having fun pressing my buttons and filling holes. So let's see who's there, caller number three.
What's going on, James?
Hello, who's that?
This is actually Alex Kimberly, Amanda Kimberly's husband.
Well,
hello. You've no idea how great it is to hear another male voice. I've just been bombarded with estrogen all night, and it's just all, you know, scary.
Remember,
so scary.
He deals with estrogen all the time because we have girls. So yeah. So
live
he
in the estrogen ocean.
Mm. Yeah, my daughter is sort of getting to that age now, and it's starting to, you know, it's happening. It's like what you know the build up to The Exorcist, where you know creepy things are happening, you know what's coming. It's her head's going to be spinning sooner or later. She's just like turning from this sweet little princess into an absolute fucking monster. So does that. So does that.
Yeah, that's what I look forward to. Yeah.
So, Kimberly's husband. Yeah, do you have a question? I mean, if your question is, Kimberly, why isn't my dinner on yet? Off you go.
That would be so much
actually, fun. Actually, I do have a question. What was for the three ladies? I already know the answer for Amanda, but what was your inspiration for your stories?
Well, mine was Hawaii because I live here and I'm obsessed with this place. So I went from there.
Is there like an active volcano or something?
Cool. Not on my island. Yeah, that's okay. On the big island. I'm a few islands away, thank God. But we're moving there next year.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
I wouldn't.
No,
really, I'm going to get scared.
I've seen those movies. I'd be terrified.
Well, I've been watching. Have you seen the actual live, the film of it happening? It's just literally the lava is just flowing down and just taking houses and everything. It's amazing.
It does.
No, I would move somewhere else. Go live somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds beautiful, though.
Mm.
It's gorgeous.
Wow.
And where we're going is far enough away that we're fine. So.
No, that's
I'm
good
jealous. Jealous.
What's
you're in Hawaii. Oh my god.
Everybody can come
my
visit.
My inspiration was pressure, because everybody was like sharing their stories and I thought, shit. And I remembered reading something about LAX. Because I get distracted. But these noises going off like gunshots. You know, seeing a film at LAX, and I thought, what if there was someone there that was flying someplace, and they heard that, and everybody started panicking and running onto the tarmac, which they did in the real instance, and she runs,
mm-hmm.
She sees this open thing where she can, you know, climb up the steps and get onto a jet, and nobody's like right in the front to stop her, and she's panicking and thinking she's, you know, she ends up a stowaway on a billionaire's jet. We did have some guidelines for the story, and ends up on a private island. It had to be like an island thing, and so, you know, that's how, and of course, vampires, because I love vampires, and so, you know, she ends up on this jet of a billionaire CEO, and he thinks she might be a corporate spy, but he wants to, of course, drain her of her blood or maybe throw her out of the plane once it's in the air. And so it just evolved like that. But, yeah, it was from
it.
A real news story.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
I always like to hear the inspiration behind the stories. It's so fascinating because they're so different. I mean, some can be so deep and just, you know, and then others, we had one lady on the show one time and she was just, it was like an episode of Seinfeld, something struck her and she wrote a novel because of just some random thing she, you know, that reminded her. I don't know, it was pretty cool. So it's always fascinating to hear.
Yeah, mine are actually inspired the two characters by a miscarriage that I actually had of twins.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up naming them. Yeah, I wound up naming them just so that way I could get past it. It was during the time when I was also caring for my grandmother who was, you know, ill, and my mom who had Alzheimer's. So it was a little difficult. So this is why I started writing it to begin with and giving them names. And...
That's
when CD Gory came to me, I'm like, yes. Because these characters to kind of be alive for me, just so that way I could have some help, with all of this and really give them a tribute.
Absolutely.
So it was kind of cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best tribute ever.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know,
I hate that we are running out of time. And we have to. I know. We have to do this again. So, get a new anthology going. You guys, hurry up and write the piss out of it. And then, maybe we'll book for 2 hours next time instead of an hour and a half, and we'll just have
could we?
Time. Yeah. We need to because.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, James, next time, James, I'll come on with you so you don't feel by yourself.
Oh, that would be so much. That would be really appreciated. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to
put in the bid for the Beanie Baby. I want to put in the bid for the Beanie Baby.
Well,
what's the Beanie Baby?
You didn't get that yet.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
What do you have to do to win the Beanie Baby?
Is there
a competition?
People were supposed to call in, and my husband doesn't count because, I'm related to him.
I figure I called in, though, so there we go. I called in.
Yeah, let Xena win the Beanie Baby.
Let Xena have it. She deserves that.
Yay!
Yes, she does.
I tell you what, the first person that donates $25 to the charity that we're representing with the anthology, I will match making that the Beanie Baby.
Wow.
There you go.
That's awesome.
What a wonderful challenge.
I'll buy my own Beanie Baby.
You can buy four Beanie Babies for that, to be honest. But,
Yeah. Well, we have the link to the book put up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to go there, they can, go there and click that button and get this anthology, and I can't wait to read it myself. And again, we have to
do this
again, and I can't wait. You guys all have to promise to come back.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
I love all y'all.
Yay.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, it's been so much fun. Thank you. But unfortunately, it is that time where we have to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Good night.
Good night.
Blue jeans, baby. With your big blue eyes, don't want you looking at other guys. Got to make you give me one more chance. I can't keep still, so baby, let's dance. Well, the blue jean bop is the bop for me. Well, it's the bop, it's the dungaree. You dip your hip, free your knee, squeal on your heel, baby, 1, 2, 3. Well, blue jean bop, blue jean bop, baby, blue jean bop, blue jean bop, baby, blue jean bop, baby, won't you bop the jean? Bop, yeah, bop! Well, hell, my heart starts a-hopping like a kangaroo. My feet do things you never done before. Well, blue jean, baby, give me more, more, more. Well, blue jean bob, baby, blue jean bob. Blue jean bob, baby, blue jean bob. Baby, won't you bob the jean? Rock it again, blue cat, go! Baby, won't you buy the jeans?
Blue cap, buy the jeans now, let's go!
A blue jean, buy. a little Jean, a little Jean Bob, baby. A little Jean, a little Jean Bob. A little Jean, a little Jean Bob. A little Jean, a baby, won't you buy a Jean?